right. Well, welcome to Restoration Fellowship again, like Jeremy said. My name is Rory Burnett, and I serve on leadership here as well. So I had a couple of questions even this morning about when's the real pastor going to come up? And and I love it because we still have new people coming in. So I just want to talk a little bit about who we are as Restoration. We are a shared leadership model. And what that means is that we have a board of elders that kind of set the tone of the church of what a lead pastor would do. So we focus on vision. We focus on mission, which we're going to go over today, and where the church is going and the health of the body. And so, and then we have this amazing team called the admin team, and they're really what in the Bible they talk about deacons. They handle a lot of the workings of the church, anything practically we're doing with ministry. That team is there, so phenomenal. And then we have a teaching team, and these we really have carved out people in our body, not necessarily on main leadership, but that have a gift of teaching. And there's five of us on that team. And that's kind of who you'll see periodically up through here. So that's kind of how we have it. Chris Edwards is our, what we would call our administration pastor. And recently, is it official yet? And then Renee Roars has just come on to, what's your official title? Admin assistant. So before, yeah, let's give a round of applause for Renee. Renee, stand up real quick just so you show your face. Before we would say go to Chris for everything, but now it's go to Renee for anything you need. So that's a little bit about our structure here, and we're so glad for you guys to be a part. Let's pray, and we'll hop in. Father, we thank you for who you are, that you are the King of the universe, that you are Lord of lords, that your name is above every other name, and we desire for your kingdom to be here on earth. And Jesus, we long for your return. And so we just pray that you would be with us. God, would you give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to the church for this year and for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we good, Arpit, on that? So I got slides today, which is pretty cool. Yeah, if they work, we'll see. We were having some technical issues. But what we wanted to start out with this morning, we were talking as a core leadership team of what are some of the amazing things that happened this year in our body, in our community, that we were engaged with, and how can we just be in a sense of thankfulness for what has been while we enter into a year of what's going to be while living in the now. So that's kind of what we're going to start out with, and that'll probably get up here soon. But what you'll see up here is some of the things that we had come through our church. So we had over 20 baptisms this year, which is over 10% of our population. And that church, the church in the park, which was incredible. We had such an amazing turnout. The Spirit of the Lord was there. There were people coming from all walks of life to get some food and to hear about Jesus. And so that was definitely a highlight for a lot of our core leadership. We added several new admin team members of just a needed thing there. So let's give a round of applause for them. We increased our Kingdom Kids team. So we added 3 staff this year with our growing kids. Also applause. Yeah. And our prayer meeting attendance, guys, from the first of the year to the end of the year, we not only added prayer meetings, but we increased, I mean, we have about an average of 20 people at our prayer meetings a day, which I know is like, nah, it doesn't sound like a lot. That's a ton. For any of you guys that go to prayer meetings consistently and there's one or two people there, having 20 people show up to pray for this body. And guys, this group of people, and you're more than welcome, Mondays and Fridays at lunch, they spend their time praying over you guys and or your businesses or the government. Like, we are here to stand in the gap. And so if you have a heart for intercession, we'd love for you to join us on that. But that's an amazing thing that's happened. Life group attendance. We have not only added life groups, but our life groups as a whole have increased in volume and depth, which has been amazing. We have this amazing thing, and this talks about it in Hebrews, of don't forsake the gathering of the brethren, but it also says that this is a temple as well. So don't forsake gathering in the temple and then going from home to home and eating together. And so that's what we do. Our life groups are so big on that. And if you're new to this body and you're not in a life group yet, we would love to talk with you. We have a couple of QR codes in the back that you can scan, get involved in a life group. But that's a huge thing that is so life-giving for so many people. All right, a couple of things else. We have had more engagement in our ministry time. We've had lingerings after times of worship and prayer where people are getting set free in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. We're seeing people filling the gaps to volunteer faster because they get the heart of what we're doing here is to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Our security team, our media team, our youth group starting, the engagement of men. When I was growing up, people called my generation the fatherless generation. And to see how prayer and the encounter of the Holy Spirit has transformed that to where we have fathers that are engaged. And we have men in this body that desire the Holy Spirit more than anything in their life. And they're leading the charge. Again, like I've been in missions and in ministry since I was born, I think. But and this is no knock, and I think we need to get more balance, but in times before, even in mission school, it was like 80 or 90% women and 10% men. The prayer meetings, 80 or 90% women and 10% men. And now in this body, we need you women back. Like, we didn't want you to go anywhere. We have like a 90% men, and then we have these faithful women. But we do need a balance there. But that is engaging the hearts of men engages the hearts of family. Amen? And so we've seen that this year. We've had our PAYS team come on. Hallelujah. We have seen healings and we have seen miracles, like we have a new sound system. And we raised money for new carpet. How cool is that? It's not very spiritual, but dang it, we're doing it. We've had the birth of a couple of new members. Hallelujah. We got to dedicate some kids this year. Hallelujah. And we are so grateful for what God has done. And it says in the word that when there's a time where God moves, you set up a monument to remember, but then you carry on your way. But you make sure to set that thing up. And so for us, what that means, and we even thought about bringing in a load of rocks to like stack up a monument here, but then someone would have to clean it up, so we decided not to do that. But something I'll encourage you guys with, as you are thinking through your year, the good and the bad, that you write it down, that you remember it, you put it in a place that it belongs, and then move into what God is doing now, and then have a vision for what God is going to do. Right? Okay. How are we doing back there? So close? Technical difficulties. All right, we're restarting. If you guys have your pages, we're going to go through our vision, our mission, our core values. And this is, so today's, we're not really doing a message today. We're doing a pep rally is what Lisa said. So this is a pep rally today. This is who we are. This is where we're going. Okay? So our vision as Restoration Fellowship is living for God's kingdom and longing for Jesus' return. And that is summed up in our motto of we are kingdom people. Who are we? Amen. So what that means is if we're living for God's kingdom right now, that means that our heart and our desire is to see his working and his power be encountered by the lost. So that means that souls are saved, bodies are healed, and people are set free. That's what that means for to walk out in kingdom, right? And if you spend any time with Stan and Linda Gill, you'll hear that phrase often. Amen. Let's keep that charge going, that we are kingdom people and that we're seeking the lost and we're seeking the broken. Restoration Fellowship, that's what our name means, is we are here through Jesus, or Jesus through us, to restore the lost and the broken and the needy. So that's our vision. Living for God's kingdom, longing for Jesus' return. All of these things are printed out everywhere. So just re-up. Every time you see it, just re-up. Our mission is to gather, equip, and commission disciples of Jesus. That's the Great Commission. That's what Jesus told the disciples to do. And we figured it was good enough for us too, so we're doing it. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. All right, let's go through our core values. And that's going to be on the second page there on the back. I tried to drink from my microphone. All right. How's the fast going for everybody? That's about how it's going for me. All right. So we were talking about this in our pre-meeting today of the prayer and worship. This core value is so foundational for this body. And over the years of how many hours of prayer and worship has been done in this building, the reason that our carpets are stained are not just from coffee, but they're mostly from tears and snot. And that there has been such an intercession that's been poured out in this place and in our life groups. And the reason we do that is because he is worthy. A couple of verses that are attached to that. So John 4, it talks about, he's talking to the Samaritan. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and he's telling her that there's a time to come. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So that's our goal here as Restoration Fellowship in worship, that we are here for spirit and truth. And then later, talking about prayer, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So not only are we interceding for our needs, we're praising the Father, and we're interceding for the nations. Again, guys, we put these flags up here, so every time you look at them, and we're going to put plaques because there's been some questions, which is not great. We went to school, right? Just kidding. But plaques up here, praying for the nations that are represented in this place, praying for our state, praying for our nation, right? Okay, we're on a biblical foundation. So next thing, we are a normal charismatic churches. They're kind of known for not having a biblical teaching, kind of like this morning, I guess. But our biblical foundation, that we want to read the word, we want to be foundational in the word, and we want to judge everything from the word. So if something is happening up here that is not aligning with the word of God, you come talk to us. We are to judge everything that happens in this church. We are to judge everything that happens in our life group. We are to judge everything that happens in our own family's lives, because that's what the word says, and we're going to stand on the word, and this is the model that we use for judging. Amen? The word is true. Third, hope of the gospel. And the little tag on there is God's promises will come to pass. What this actually means is that you've heard the gospel maybe your whole life, maybe you haven't yet. Let's talk after church. But the true gospel is that Jesus came and he died for our sins and he rose again. And the hope that we have, the hope deferred, is that Jesus is coming back to rule and reign and to rebuild the earth with us. Amen? So the hope of the gospel is what's set before us, that once we are a part of God's family, that our hope is actually for Jesus to come and to rule and reign along with us forever. That's exciting. Yeah? Okay, great. Calm down. All right. Number four, intentional community. This is one of my favorites. The tagline here, we are loved by the Father, so we love others. And this happens through our life groups. This happens through our random dinners or lunch after church. Intentional community is being intentional with one another and not being what a lot of us are in Pagosa, are lone wolves. Don't be that way. Reach out and grab somebody else in, or reach out for some help, right? Intentional community is sharing your life, and sometimes there's mess with that. Okay, let's go back to the first page, and we're going to talk through a little bit on gather, equip, and commission. So what this means, this is our model for doing church. So we gather. We gather on Sunday mornings. We gather in life groups. We gather on ministry nights. And we gather in prayer meetings. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit. We gather during feasts. Amen. So when we are gathered together in intentional community, we can then start to equip, which is discipleship. Discipleship happens through just life, right? But it also happens through Bible studies and through practical training with worship and ministry. It happens in our kids next door. We're not there babysitting your kids, guys. We're there to equip them with the Holy Spirit so that they can know the gospel, they can know the word, and they can understand the Spirit. Arpit, is that next slide working? Oh, there it is, right there. Perfect. We have our youth group. We have our marriage and family ministry. We have discipleship. We have the fivefold ministry working out here. It's a shared leadership. We're not relying on one man's goodness on earth. We're relying on the man's goodness in heaven and having multiple men and women serve the body here. And a city of refuge. Let's talk about that in a little bit as well. And then commission. This is where we are, guys. Is there's this cycle that happens and is always happening. You're always gathering, you're always equipping, and you're always commissioning. It doesn't happen in succession necessarily because everybody's at a different spot. Amen? So what this is getting engaged in evangelism. And in evangelism means going at your job and preaching the gospel. It's stopping in the grocery store and praying over that person that you feel you're supposed to pray over. It's also joining Stan on Saturdays at 1 o'clock downtown to pray through the streets, okay? So evangelism happens wherever you're out. Outreach, the same thing. Make sure, guys, we want to be the largest volunteers over at the food bank that came from this body, and we had to get another place, its own building to serve. So we expect, as we're commissioning, that we're serving the people that are in need at the food pantries. That we're engaging in missions. We're local and we're international. Workplace ministry, we already talked about that a little bit. Intentional family. This is, guys, when we are going into our weeks, fathers, I'm talking to you right now. Are you setting your family up for rest? Are you setting your family up to worship and to read the word in your home? If you're not, this is what intentional family means, is that we are healthy and pouring out into our wives and our kids. And wives, I can't really speak into you. Ask somebody else. But fathers, that's what this means, is that we are intentional with leading our families well. Because if we don't lead, no one else is going to. Okay? And this last one, which is, we just talked about it today, is radical generosity. This is our commissioning. Guys, since I have been coming to this church over 20 years ago, this has been the most generous church. This is the legacy that we have in this body, is that this is a place that is generous. We don't have a bunch of flashy rich people here. We have normal, everyday people that work a 9-to-5 and that are generous with everything that they have, that we live with open hands and open hearts. And I love that. Okay. So let's talk about what we're going to do today. We talked through this. We're going to talk about bringing back something that has been and that should be, which is the City of Refuge. We're going to talk about the current series we're in. We're going to talk about the next series we're in, and then where we're going from here. I know that's a lot, but I believe in you guys. Thanks, Rory. All right, next slide. So Pagosa Springs and Restoration is a City of Refuge. And what we're going to do, there was a couple of series in 2017, so almost 10 years ago, was the last time that we actually put together all of the words that have been spoken over this body. And guys, it's crazy. Personally, that I have encountered of people walking in the door, driving from Texas, saying that they had a dream to go to Pagosa and to find a church here. They walked into Restoration Fellowship during a prayer meeting, and they said, God gave me a dream that this is going to be a city of refuge, that people are going to come to this place in times of crisis. And this place, Pagosa Springs, is going to, hold on. Ooh, my mind just went blank. Please, Jesus. They're going to come to this place for restoration. They're going to come to this place for healing. They're going to come to this place for rest. And that's already, we're already kind of seeing that a little bit. That's who we are. That's what Pagosa means, is a place of healing. But our part, and guys, in the last 9 years, we could probably do 4 messages at this point. We could have 4 hours of just reading prophetic words spoken over this house. But we've kind of let it slide a little bit. And so what we're going to do this year is start bringing this back into our vocabulary. I just want to raise of hands. How many people have come here? And there's a couple stories. One, I don't know why I'm here, but God told me to come here. 2, you have a specific vision in place, whether it's food, whether it's housing, or a ministry. We'll just go with those 2. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. That's us 2. That's us 2. Bring him back. So a city of refuge, what we think this is from Restoration Fellowship, is that we are a people that are going to be practically prepared for people to show up, whatever that looks like, and ask the Lord for wisdom. So what this is, if people come here, if a crisis happens tomorrow, would we be ready to take on double our population? No, we would not. We've seen glimpses of that. And that's why we've set up the life groups how we have, is we have a system of communication already. We saw that during COVID. We were strong during COVID when other churches, we had a church here in town that dropped 90% in their congregation. That's huge. I don't think we lost very many people because we had so many people engaged in those life groups. So we have a system in place. But for you guys as families, what we're going to recommend is, guys, be ready. Be safe. Have a 72-hour emergency kit in your house. If God is calling you to something deeper, there's some people here that are raising cattle. There's some people here that are growing wheat. There's some people here that are saving up food in storehouses already. And they don't know why. Because God said we're going to do it. And so as a church, we're going to say, people, be ready. There's something coming. And people need to be coming to the church, not the world. Right? So if we capture this heart of we are a city of refuge, so that means for me, what it means for me and Breezy is we have enough food for our family and to take on a few other people for a few weeks. Simple. We have prayed about what food should we have in the house, and we have food that we eat, and we just have a little extra. Okay? We have things that are ready in place. Now, and what we're working towards is, God, we don't have enough room because we have kids. We need more room. So we're figuring that out as well. So whatever your piece is, what we're asking our Restoration Fellowship family, pray and ask God, God, what is my piece in the city of refuge? Because it literally could be something that you know. It could be food. It could be a place. But we are going to be radical in our generosity and giving for when people come here. The nations are already coming here, guys. I don't know if you knew that. The nations are here. And there's going to be more coming here. And my prayer, God, I want it to be us. So this is our portion. So there's a practical preparedness. And we could talk about that until we're blue in the face. I would just, again, invite you guys, pray and ask the Lord what he's going to have you do. And now the spiritually prepared. Guys, we have to be ready to handle normally in times of crisis or when people come seeking refuge, they're generally not healthy. They're not healthy in body, in mind, and in spirit. And so what that means is we have to be solid as a people. When people come in through our door that are a mess, we have to be solid so we can envelop them in by the Spirit and say, welcome, you are loved and known here. So that's the spiritual aspect of, guys, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Do not forsake praying without ceasing, praying continually. Do not forsake worshiping in spirit and truth. Do not forsake the reading of the scriptures. And so as we have these foundational aspects, we are able to take care of people and bring them in and say, welcome, we're glad you're here. All right. I know that's quick. We're going to talk about it more this year. Now, what are we doing? So right now, Restoration Fellowship for the vision for 2026. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide, Arpit. Is activation. We're in our activation series right now. And what this really means, when we activate, it's that little box right there, that we make disciples of Jesus. Let's all say that together.
Make disciples of Jesus.
All right. So when we're doing this, when we're activating our faith, we've been working through the foundations, we've been working through learning the scripture and praying and worship. And guys, if you need a refresher, we have all this online. Or grab somebody and start being discipled. But what this means, when we go out, we have to be solid here in this place. We have to take care of our housekeeping. Sometimes that means taking care of the carpet. Sometimes that means showing up to a Bible study. And sometimes that means having staff to where we can take care of us and build up the body. But then once we are solid, we're out. We're going out. And we're preaching the gospel. We're activating our faith. In the next 10 weeks, we're going to be talking about the spiritual gifts. And what does that mean to actually walk them out in your day-to-day life? So we're expecting not you to just come and get a great message and go home. We're expecting you to come, get a good message, grab a buddy, and work it out, right? Start going out and living the gospel in our jobs and at the grocery store and at the restaurants. We are kingdom people. We gather, equip, and commission disciples. We bring the kingdom into our work, our family, and our spheres of influence. God is increasing that. That's what I feel for this year, is that God is going to increase our influence as we are faithful with what he's given us. And what we're supposed to do with that influence is not to increase our kingdom, but it's to increase God's kingdom, because we are kingdom people. We are citizens of heaven. And so all that we have, all that we are, is to be poured out before him as a living sacrifice. So a couple of things that we're going to do as well of just getting our kids involved. And these quarterly foundational classes, we have one started this morning. If you guys want to learn more and be more equipped, just say yes. Start saying yes and see how God shows up. So the Great Commission, let's go to the next slide. The Great Commission. This is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let's just read this. And Jesus came. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so this Great Commission, who we are as a people, that we gather, equip, and commission disciples of Jesus, is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That we understand that this is coming from Jesus, that our ability to do our jobs, our ability to be good fathers and mothers, the ability to be good sons and daughters, comes from him who has all authority, everything. And as we look to him, as we look to the Father, that we are walking this out and saying, come with me, look at, this is what Paul says. It says, look at my life, because I have modeled my life after Jesus. Are you guys able to do that right now? I'm a little bit away from that. But every day, my prayer is, God, make me a little bit more like you, so that when people look at me, they can go deep. All right. So practicals of discipleship. So like we talked about, being rooted in the word and in prayer. Listening to the Father. So we have this daily engagement that we are listening and we are obeying. We're being solid in community. So if you're not involved in a life group or a home group or something that's a community of believers that's going deep, guys, wake up. Get together. Do not be alone. To set yourself up to walk with people, okay? This discipleship thing, I have pushed it off. I'm 34. And I have said I'm too young. And then finally, I got convicted by the Lord a couple of years ago. And he's like, when are you going to be old enough? What's the age? When are you going to know enough to start pouring out? And so God invited me into saying yes. Now, I'm not saying just go for it. And here, and you see the bottom there. A good starting point, if you're not being disciples, find somebody to disciple you. Young men, or old men, find a father that is walking with the Lord closely and grab on him. Young women, grab an older mother or a young mother, I don't know. Someone who is walking the way you want to walk and say, please teach me. Because that's how it comes. Discipleship, in my opinion, comes from a son asking a father to father you. Right? Jesus did a little bit different, but he's Jesus, and I'm not. So my experience is I've always had to go, and then sometimes it comes. But old men, fathers, guys, if your life is not worthy to be looked at like the life of Jesus, get in the word. Get on your knees. Become the man that Jesus is calling you to be by looking at the Father. Okay? Because as we are discipling and we are being discipled, we will walk in the fullness that God has called us into. Okay. Time for the fourth mini-series. So, activation, that's the biggest thing. We hope that it bleeds this body to discipleship. to be discipled and to disciple. Amen? Okay. All right, biblical feasts. We are starting in 2 weeks this series of biblical feasts I am so excited for. And it's going to be over the full 12 months. So whenever the feast is happening, we're going to have a teaching on it, and we're going to do as much as we can. We did a couple of those last year. We did Shabbat. What is it? Sukkot. Oh, my gosh, my brain. Sukkot. This last year with our life group, guys, it was phenomenal. We did 5 days. We built the sukkah together. We feasted together. And it was just this time that we remembered that this earth is not our home and that Jesus is coming back. And so these feasts are not to, we're not trying to add anything to the gospel, but there is a rhythm of life that God has called us into. And these feasts are just very aligned with not only Jesus's life, but for us as humans needing to reset. Because we have weird holidays. Like last couple weeks were great. That's like our only real holiday that we take a lot of time to be with family and to eat. And in these feasts that God has outlined to Moses, there is a rhythm of life where they're saying, hey, it's time to rest. It's time to feast. It's time for reverence. It's time for community. And there's a call from God to say, have a rhythm of life that I can encounter you. If you're too busy to do these feasts, that means you're too busy. And that was kind of the point, was he had to make a law in the Bible to say, I need you to stop work and to look at me for a second in order for his people to look at him. And guys, we have lost that in a lot of ways. And so why we're doing this is this reason. God, may we be able to look to you in the rhythm of our busy life and stop and just whatever you want, whatever the feast is about. And so be very open to this. Like for us, we're going to plan a little bit better for Sukkot because it was a lot of work, and how God actually calls us into it is take a few days off of work. So I'm already planning on it. I'm taking a few days off of work during Sukkot, because I want to encounter God, I want to encounter my community, and I want to eat really good food. Amen? I'm just going to warn you, some of the feasts are not really good food, but that one is good food. So those are the items that we're going to discuss. All right, I think we're done now. So what we're looking forward to this year is to encounter the Father and to encounter each other. What we're expecting this year, what I'm expecting for myself, for my kids, for my wife, is that we walk in radical generosity. As we move in obedience, as we look to the Father, and he says, give your time here, give your resources here, write the check here, even if you don't have it in your bank account. God will encounter us when we walk in radical generosity, and we believe that this is the year, I shouldn't say this is the year, this is the year we're going to learn how to do that better as a community. And we already said it, right? We're like, man, you guys are so great at it. Do better. That's what I'm saying to myself. Thank you, God, for giving me the ability to give radically and always coming through when I feel like I'm at my end. Bring me farther. So as we move in obedience, God will provide extravagantly. That's not why we give. We give because we love him. And we give because he loves us. So just start praying. As you guys, I don't know if you guys yearly plan. If you don't, I highly recommend it. Get away with your family. Take some time. Write some goals. Do what we just did. We're thankful for what happened. This is who we are. This is where we're going. And somewhere in that, you're going to find where God has you right now. See, I held my mic down so I didn't drink it again. It's a radical generosity. Who resonates with that? I just want to take the temperature. Okay. All right. A few of us. Great. Love it. Seriously, pray in this place. If you guys are feeling stressed financially or uncertain about the future, this is the best place to gauge the temperature of your heart and to say, God, where am I? And it's just take it. Whatever you want. Just take it. and see the blessings that he pours out. If you're having trouble pay your rent, and God says, give that money away, give it away, guys. I'm telling you, the blessings will pour out. All right, one more thing on this. Because I don't know if it's sinking. So I want you guys to listen. This is the only challenge that God gives. In Malachi 3, Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. So he's saying, bring it on. Make sure that what I have called you to do is filled first, and then test me in this. And it says, if I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And so what he's saying, guys, is you're better than the lilies of the field. I want to take care of you extravagantly. And guys, sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes it feels like we're going through the fire. But he's saying, continue to test me in this and you'll be okay. So radical generosity, that's where we're going. All right. And what we just said, set up memorials, testimonies to search for God for the now. That's the charge for you guys to get with your family and to do these things, to look at what has been, to look what will be, and to take stock at, am I aligning with what God has called me to do and who he's called me to be? Amen. All right, that was a lot, I know. Thank you, guys. All right, so last thing that we're going to do, on the back page, we have the Kingdom People Covenant. And this is something that is just how we are going to continue to re-up. We're going to do this periodically where we're going to say this all together. If you don't believe it, no one's going to judge you if you don't say it, okay? But make sure that when you say it, that it's for real, okay? So we're going to read this along. There's a few things you can read along on your page. But there's four different slides. Arpit, you ready? All right, you guys ready? All right. I am a kingdom citizen. I recognize my own. I have been bought with a price by the blood of the Lamb. I commit to living for God's kingdom and longing for Jesus' return. In my home, I will be a person of prayer and of the word. In my work, I will be a person of integrity and excellence, seeing my profession as my calling to minister the gospel. In my church, I will hold reverence for God in worship, in prayer, and teaching. I will be a contributor in the city of refuge, ready to serve the broken and stand firm in my faith. My goal is to see souls saved, bodies healed, and people set free until the day of the Lord. Loved by him. Amen. We believe that? All right. Amen. Last slide there. That's who we are, guys. We are kingdom people. And that's what being a part of Restoration Fellowship is we are kingdom people. We are here to walk out as we see the Father working, that we walk it out. Amen. All right. We do. I just didn't do a little plug for raising money as we have been. We have stickers in the back. We have hats. We have shirts that just start conversations for people. So if you guys would like to be a part of that, that's just in the back. It's just donations. So just pick it up and donate online or drop cash there. All right. Let's have worship team come on up, or Mark, and a ministry team. Whoa, that was a lot. So, yeah, amen. So I want you guys to save these if you ever get off, because I know how vision and how core values go, is it's like, what are we doing here? Where are we going? Just go back to this and just see, where am I at in this, God? Am I doing these things? And he will meet you. He meets us where we are. Go ahead and stand with me. And as we're going through this time, just entering off, exiting in worship, I would just ask the Lord, God, give me something that I need to write down in remembrance. What is the thing this year that you don't want me to forget and to set up a memorial for? And write that down. We have paper in the back and in your chairs, or we have handy-dandy cell phones. But create a memorial. Remember what God has done. Look forward to what God is going to do. And then be right here, right now, looking at the Father. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. God, I thank you that you are pouring out your Spirit in this place. God, I thank you for the salvations. I thank you for the baptisms. God, I thank you for the labors that you have brought to this church from across the nations. God, we thank you, and we desire above all things to look to you. We are citizens of heaven. So would you encounter us? In Jesus' name, amen.